welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alvaton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Well, grab your copy of God's Word. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. If you'd like to see a copy of today's sermon notes, you can download those at our Facebook page for the South Campus, our South Campus Facebook page. You can download the PDF sermon notes right there. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes if my head wasn't attached to my body, I would lose it, right? So one of the coolest things, though, is when you find something that's lost, when something lost gets found. Isn't that true, man? It's so exciting. Apparently, gardens and lakes are especially fruitful at returning lost items to you. For instance, this diamond ring right here. This diamond ring was found after it had been lost for 13 years. Now, imagine the frustration losing something like that. And then all of a sudden, one day, you go out to just pick a carrot to pull it out of the ground, and all of a sudden, what? There's my diamond ring 13 years later. I guess that diamond has an extra carrot now. Ha ha, right? Dad joke. How about this wedding ring here? On a carrot again, right? Gone for 16 years, lost for 16 years. Again, losing something so precious as your wedding band. But there's no doubt that there was great shock. There was celebration when she harvested that carrot and found that thing. Or how about this thing here? This comes from a lake. A correctional officer had lost his wallet in a lake 20 years before some fisherman one day out there in a lake saw that and got it and returned it to the man's son. By this time, the man had died, and he gave it to his son. Can you just imagine the excitement and the joy and the emotion in that son's heart and mind when he got a memento from his dad to remember his dad by? And then somehow, this lady here, I don't know if she like was in a canoe and tipped it over or just got mad and threw her purse out in the lake. I don't know, but she lost her entire purse in the lake, and 25 years later, this little boy was fishing and he found that purse. And in every instance with these wallets and other things that you read, somebody worked hard to make sure it got back to the person who had lost it. All four of these things, they were found in gardens or in lakes. And so the moral of the story is, if you want to find lost things, sow seed and go fishing. Right? I mean, doesn't that sound like Christianity? Right? That sounds like Christianity to me. Jesus talked about the parables of sowing the gospel seeds so that there would be a harvest. And if we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. He also told his disciples that he was going to make them fishers of men. And that goes for you and me as well. That's how lost people get found. And as we come to the end of our walk through the book of Ephesians, I'm reminded again of the title of this series. Your grace finds me. God's grace finds us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm what? Found. Was blind, but now I see. You see, if you are in Christ today and saved, it is because God in His grace found you and blessed you and lavished you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You were not looking for God. He came looking for you. In fact, he sent out an entire search party. Think about it just for a moment here. All the people in your life, in your story, who were part of God's search party looking for you. People who taught you the truths of the Christian faith. People who shared Jesus with you. People who prayed for you. People who invested in you spiritually. Here's the deal, y'all. God uses found people to go find lost people. And as we come to the end of Ephesians here, we're left with this in mind, bringing us to today's final takeaway from the book of Ephesians, and it's this. Today's takeaway, as you were once found, boldly go to find others by sharing the gospel. You once were lost, but now you're found. And God uses found people to go find lost people. So, if that's the case, let's see how Paul wraps up this epistle here to the Ephesian church and to all Christians throughout the ages. So let's look here, Ephesians chapter 6. I want to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. We're going to begin there in the 18th verse, the second part of the 18th verse, 18b, if you will, and we're going to read out the rest of the chapter. God's Word says this, church. It says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and how he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus with love incorruptible. Thus ends the reading of the Word of God this morning. So let's ask God to help us. Father, I'm so thankful for this people who've gathered together today to worship you through singing, to worship you through giving, to worship you through praying, and to worship you through the preaching of your word. And Father, while I may be the only one preaching this morning, they get the opportunity to worship you through the preaching of your word by rejoicing in what they hear and going to live what they hear. So Father, I ask God that our worship through the preaching of your word today would be powerful, that would be mighty, that would be from the bottom of our hearts. And God, I want to take a moment here to pray particularly this morning for lost people. Father, they are without Christ and they are without hope because in and of themselves they are doomed. But if they would only this day even turn and trust in Christ as Savior and Lord, they will be saved. They will be found and saved. So God, I pray you would just move in their hearts this morning, God. Do what only you can do, and that is change a sinner's heart and save them. So God, meet us here and do what you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So grab your seat right there. Grab your seat right there. So today's takeaway, as you were once found, boldly go to find others by sharing the gospel. And if that's what we're going to do, then it's going to take four things. It'll take four things from our text today. First, it's going to take a biblical grasp of lostness. Now, to be fair, this is not explicitly in the text, okay? But it's there implicitly. It is implied, right? Paul wants the Ephesians to pray that he would be bold in opening his mouth and proclaiming what? The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, right? That's the good news of Jesus, that Jesus lived, died, and rose again to save sinners. And what makes the good news is that there is indeed bad news. And the bad news, according to Scripture, even here in Ephesians, is that we've all come into this world and we grew up in this world lost and destined for hell. Paul puts it this way here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Talking about the state of folks before they come to Christ. He says this, and you were dead. And so if this morning you're here and you're not in Christ, let's don't put this in past tense. I want to lovingly put this into present tense for you this morning. And you are dead in your trespasses and sins in which you currently walk, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, and you now are living in the passions of your flesh, carrying out the desires of your body and the mind, and are by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Now that's hard news. That's hard news for the typical person on the street Because you and I, we're naturally convinced that we're good. We're naturally convinced that we have earned God's favor toward us. But a biblical worldview, a biblical grasp of lostness, says that nobody's good. Nobody is as good as they think they are. We are all, the Bible says, rotten to our core. Again, not as rotten as we could be, not as sinful as we could be, but by nature, we're children of wrath. We are rotten in the core of our being. Your good most likely does not outweigh your bad. And even if it does, that's the wrong question. I mean, I feel like I say this a lot, but you need to hear this morning. The question is not, does my good outweigh my bad? Wrong question. The question is, do I have any bad? Breaking news, you do. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What that means is that we are all by nature sinners and by practice sinners, and we cannot save ourselves. We cannot absolve ourselves or redeem ourselves, and left to ourselves, listen to me very closely this morning, beloved, we will one day die in and of ourselves without Christ and be condemned by the righteous judge of the universe, our great and holy God, to experience the wrath of God forevermore in hell. Somebody needs to hear this morning. Somebody walked into this building lost. You might be around Jesus people and even live in the same house as Jesus people, but you've never become a Jesus person. You never repented. You never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord. And if you were to die today, you would bust hell wide open. And I say to you, your only hope is to turn to Jesus, trust in Jesus, and you're going to be saved. That's what he says here. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Cry out to God. Let him know that you know that you're a sinner. Let him know that you know that Jesus is the Savior, and then ask him to forgive you. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. You don't have to wait till the invitation. Right now, even, right where you are. Have that conversation with God right now. I'm a sinner. Jesus is the Savior, and I am ready to give my life to Christ. Repent, trust Christ as my Savior and Lord. Jesus is your only hope. And if we're going to go boldly find others by sharing the gospel, we've got to get what I just said in our spirit. We have to, right? We've got to be gripped with the truth that there's no hope outside of Jesus. I mean, why in the world would Paul put in this much effort? I mean, honestly, think about it. He left everything, his house, his home, his job, his prestige, his vocation, all of those things, all of his friends, all of his family. Why would he risk his freedom and his very life? And the answer is because he was convinced of a biblical lostness, the biblical worldview of what lostness is. He was convinced that Jesus was the only hope for lost people. And as he was found, he was going to go find others. And he was convinced that was absolutely necessary for him to go. For him to go. You see, guys, listen to me very carefully this morning. Nobody is saved unless they hear the gospel first. Romans 10:14 clearly tells us this. How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him on whom they've not ever heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So if you want to see people saved, guess what? You have to personally tell somebody about Jesus. It's absolutely necessary for you to share the gospel. But here's what happens. You and I, we often convince ourselves, somebody else will do that, right? Somebody else will do that. And that may be the case, but it may not be the case, beloved. I mean, believe it or not, you might be the only person in this world who has access and credibility to share Jesus with that lost person. Nobody else in the world has the relationship that you do with that person. You may be the only one who is best positioned to effectively and lovingly share Jesus with that person. And so I say to you, don't miss the opportunity that God has given you. Right? Grasp a biblical lostness as you were once found. Boldly go to find others by sharing the gospel. Second, here's what it's going to take. Secondly, it's going to take an infilling of the Holy Spirit through prayer. An infilling of the Holy Spirit through prayer. You see, Paul is coming out teaching us. He's just coming out of teaching us about spiritual warfare, wasn't he? Right? This is what we talked about last week. And how we're going to endure and how we're going to battle spiritual warfare through putting on the armor of God. And I just want to testify for a moment some of the greatest warfare that I've ever faced. And some of the greatest warfare that I bet you guys have ever faced is when you get given the opportunity to share Jesus. And that's when the battle really ensues, because the Holy Spirit is whispering, share Jesus. And your flesh and the enemy are going, don't do it! Don't! And so the Holy Spirit gets a little bit louder, right? You've been there before? No, I really share Jesus. And your flesh and the enemy again, no! Guys, that's real spiritual warfare. How do you overcome that? Because I just want to be honest, how many of you guys would say that you've lost that battle before? Notice my hands raised here, right? I've lost that battle. The Holy Spirit said, share, and I said, Somebody else will, right? Well, I've lost it. So how do you overcome? How do you stand victorious in that battle? And the answer here in the text is prayer. Prayer. Just as Paul asked the Ephesians to pray for him, we're to pray ourselves. We got to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with the words and with boldness. Look at 18 and 19, Ephesians 6, 18 and 19 again. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer. Remember, we put prayer last week in as part of the armor of God, as part of the weapon that God has given us to battle spiritual warfare, to battle the forces of darkness, okay? So prayer is part of that. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. If the Apostle Paul needed the Holy Spirit to stand up and preach and to share the good news, I guarantee you Ben Simpson needs him. I guarantee you, you need him. We need God to give us that boldness. Now, that doesn't mean to be overbearing. A lot of times, guys, when you think about getting Spirit-filled, you think about that guy he's over-animated, and he's loud, and he's all those things, right? You're like, you're kind of over-animated and loud this morning, Ben. But that's not what that means. That boldness doesn't mean that you're overbearing. It means that we recognize we have full help and full assurance that the Lord is with us. That's what that boldness means. It's stepping out in faith, knowing that God is holding your rope. And not only is he holding your rope, but he's holding you. He's there with you. And we witness for the Lord no matter the situation. You know, as I was reading this, I was reminded of the other apostles. Apostle Peter and Apostle John, they're in Acts 4 after they had been detained, arrested. They had been questioned and all those things by the religious leaders there in Jerusalem, and they had been threatened. Don't you dare share about this Jesus dude anymore here in Jerusalem. And then they let them go. They would have loved to have beaten them. They would have loved to have imprisoned them, or maybe eventually they would have loved to even put them to death. But they let them go. And what did they do? Well, we read this in Acts 4, 29 through 31. Here is what they were doing. They were actually praying. They got on their faces with the other saints there in Jerusalem. And here's the content of their prayer. Notice what they said. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, notice this, church, the whole place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That's what we need. We need an infilling of the Holy Spirit, right? Absolutely. If we're going to boldly go to find others by sharing the gospel, we must pray for the Spirit to fill us and to give us boldness. Third, it's going to take this. It's going to take an actual proclamation of the gospel. Now, notice what Paul asks. Ephesians 6:19. He says, "The words that may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel." St. Francis of Assisi from the 13th century, he's often quoted, and there's some debate about this, but he's quoted as saying, "Preach the gospel at all times and use words if necessary." Now, that is a great phrase, whoever said it, to remind us that your life is a witness to Jesus, right? That it's great in that regard. But here's the truth of the matter. Words are always necessary. People may see your life, and they may think that you are a righteous person, a godly person, but they'll never know that your hope is in Jesus Christ unless you open your mouth and tell them. People are not mind readers. They'll never know that they too can have their life transformed through Jesus Christ unless you open your mouth and you tell them. You see, the gospel is a message. It's a proclamation, and words are always necessary. Paul wanted prayer, that he would actually open his mouth and say something, proclaim the good news of Jesus. And we have to do the same thing, church. You know, the gospel, it's not a complex message, is it? No, it's not at all. I mean, the gospel can literally be summed up in 3 points. You're a sinner. Jesus is the only hope and Savior for sinners. And that every person who will repent and trust in Jesus will be saved. That is the gospel. It's so simple. Even a caveman could do it, right? I mean, even a child can do it. And you might say, well, Pastor, I just like to share my testimony. Beloved, your testimony is not the gospel. It's a testimony to the power of the gospel, but it's not the gospel. If you want to see people saved, if you want to see lost people found, open your mouth and actually share the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Notice, let me say it again, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of" who, church? Everybody say it with me. 1, 2, 3. God. The power's not in you. You're not saving anybody. The power is in God through the gospel, and you just get to unleash that on somebody by proclaiming it. You get to say it and then step back and watch God do something amazing. It takes an actual proclamation, though. You've got to actually say the gospel to somebody. And as someone once proclaimed it to you, boldly go proclaim it to others. Finally, this morning, what's it going to take? If we're going to boldly go and find lost people, it's going to take a willingness to ignore the costs. It's going to take a willingness to ignore the costs. Let's be honest. That's why you don't share the gospel much. That's why Ben doesn't share the gospel as much as I should. It's not because we don't know enough. I mean, honestly, just look at our Facebook pages, right? It's never stopped us from talking about things we know hardly anything about, right? All the time. That's what Facebook is. Bunch of ignorance on fire a lot of times, right? It's never stopped us from talking about things that we know a little bit about. No, the reason that you and I don't share the gospel as much as we should is because we're afraid of the cost often. Somebody won't like me. Somebody will think less of me. Somebody won't be my friend anymore. Somebody will begin to treat me poorly. Now, I want to ask you this morning, did Paul count the cost? Look here in the text, Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. He says, "And also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Now notice, what did he call himself here? He called himself an ambassador in chains. You know what he's talking about here? He's alluding to the fact that he is literally writing this letter from imprisonment, from jail. This book of the Bible is a letter from a Roman jail. He knew the cost. He knew the cost. This wasn't his first rodeo. In fact, the first time we see Paul in the Bible, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, somewhere in that neighborhood there, Acts chapter 7, 8, 9, right in there in the book of Acts, the first time we see him, what's he doing? He is literally giving approval for a Christian to be put to death because that man stood up and proclaimed that Jesus was the Savior. So you better believe, Paul knew the cost. He knew the cost. He watched a man die. He held the coats of men who were stoning Stephen to death. So he knew the cost. But he ignored it. He knew the cost. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. He shares about the cost that he's experienced. He says, "Are they all servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." He knew the cost. He knew the cost, but guess what? He ignored it. He ignored it. Finding the lost was more important to him. Finding the lost was worth it. And I say the same thing to you this morning, Eastwood. I say the same thing to you. Finding the lost is more important. Finding the lost is worth it. Think of how much joy there is in finding lost things. It's exponentially more when you find lost people. And God is inviting you and me, as we were once lost and found, to go find lost people. God uses found people to go find lost people. And as we come to the end of the book of Ephesians, that is our commission. That is our mandate. And I want you to know this morning that people are hungry. They're starving. They're scared. They're ready for you to just open your mouth and share. And God will do the rest. Here's my final prayer this morning as the praise team comes. May God's grace through you lead to the lost being found. God's grace finds us, and you are part of God's grace to go find the lost right here in our community and around the world.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow Him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.